You're listening to a recording of Bill Monroe and his Bluegrass Boys from 1946. The Bluegrass Boys have consisted of over 150 musicians throughout the years, but the band in 1946 is the one that has come to define bluegrass music. Earl Scruggs on banjo, Lester Flatt on guitar, Chubby Weiss on fiddle, Howard Watts on bass, and of course, Bill Monroe on mandolin. While the bluegrass sound may not have been the same without some of these band members, Earl Scruggs in particular, the genre may have never come about without Bill Monroe's hard-driving mandolin style.
It had a chop, it had a bark. When he played rhythm on it, you know, it became like a drum in a country band or a rock band.
Ricky Skaggs is, among other things, a 14-time Grammy Award winner and is considered one of the greatest mandolin players of all time.
That was that backbeat of what bluegrass the sound was, and it was a sound that no one had had before that.
Skaggs is among the countless players heavily influenced by Bill Monroe. In 1960, Monroe and his Bluegrass Boys played a concert in Martha, Kentucky. Skaggs played with Monroe there for the first time when he was 6 years old.
He took the strap on the mandolin and wrapped it around the curl of the body, you know, and made it fit me. So I stood there and sung, "Ruby, are you mad at your man?"
Ricky, all rolled back and ready to go.
Ricky played the same song a year later at the age of 7 with Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs on the Martha White Country Music Variety Show. The Bill Monroe style of playing was a key factor in the creation of bluegrass, and some would say helped lay the foundation for rockabilly and rock and roll. The driving, syncopated chops and the hard, popping leads were unlike anything that had come before. But Monroe was a mandolin player long before he created the bluegrass sound, so what happened to cause him to change his style? George Gruen, owner of Gruen Guitar Shop in Nashville, Tennessee, is an instrument guru. He says Bill Monroe's style changed when he stumbled across a 1923 Gibson F5 Lloyd Lore mandolin in a barbershop in Miami, Florida.
His sound changed so radically that I can't think of a better example of a partnership between a musician and an instrument where that instrument totally reshaped a player's whole style. And the way people played before, they were tickling the strings. Bill was darn near ripping them right out of the bridge. He'd hit it so hard. That mandolin was not simply a compliant tool doing what he told it to do, because if that's all it was, he could have done some of that on the F7.
Prior to finding the F5, Monroe played a Gibson F7.
But the F7 didn't suggest those sounds to Bill. Bill did things that I know of no mandolin player prior to him even attempting, once he got the F5, but not before. So it was a very fortuitous thing that he stopped in a barber shop in Florida and found that thing as a used instrument for $125.
Ricky Skaggs agrees.
Here's the mandolin player, goes by and plays that mandolin and falls in love with it and buys it right there on the spot. You know, I mean, what's the odds of that? That's not just a happenstance. That is absolutely a God-ordained moment.
The Lloyd Lore F5 had a longer neck and a lighter body, allowing Bill the freedom to play more notes and resonating in a way that it cut through everything else. It was an important piece of the puzzle in the development of bluegrass. The centerpiece, though, was Bill Monroe. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Gary Pitts.